fruit for the week at the same time.
Great idea. All the produce is grown locally, which means that because it's super fresh, it's more nutritious.
I love hanging out at the growers market.
And I love meeting all the growers. I'll grab the bag with our reusable containers.
Don't forget our bowls and spoons.
The Raglan Growers Market. By the community, for the community. Every Friday from 5 to 7pm on Stewart Street.
Support local. See you there.
BizWorks, chartered accountants, working for your business right here in Raglan. As well as helping us out at Raglan Community Radio, BizWorks has been offering business advice and services to the local community since 2001. They should be the first people you call if you've got a new business venture or want to grow your existing business. They can provide business support, take care of your GST, provide zero training, and of course, end-of-year financial statements and tax returns. So whatever your needs, the answer is right here in Raglan, just around the corner on Wallace Street. Call BizWorks on 825 7050 or go to bizworks.co.nz. That's bizworx.co.nz.
From 1994 to 2024, this is Raglan Community Radio. Our station, 98.1 FM, is celebrating its 30th year on air.
To our past and present DJs, sponsors, listeners and supporters, we say thank you.
Thank you. 98.1,
the best in the West.
Raglan Community Radio, at the heart of your community for 30 years.
Tune in and chill out.
And kia ora, good evening, Whangaroa and Raglan. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio, Rangiora Whangaroa. At what's the time? 6:05. And until 7:30-ish. So let's have a look at what the weather's doing, what's happening and all that sort of stuff. Not a lot to say this week. We're getting close to Christmas and usually there's loads of Christmassy things organised, but I've not actually spotted them this week. I'm not looking, knowing where to look these days. But anyway, the weather forecasts are still reasonably easy to find. So last time I looked, it was 20 degrees, going down to about 9 or 10 overnight. So probably the coolest night of the week. Then going up to 23 over the next few days, and we have got rain though coming up on, well, over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, rain. The pressure's surprisingly low today, considering we haven't got rain apparently all that close, 1,005 hectopascals. There's also a forecast of strong winds, but I can hardly see the trees moving, so not quite sure what that's about. So anyway, that looks as though Friday might be possibly an odd shower, but getting ready for Saturday, which is probably the worst day, and Sunday, which is also probably going to be wettish as well. The tide's going down at the moment, 20 minutes to low tide, 0.4 metre low tide. The next high tide will be in the middle of the night, and then there'll be one at 1:09 tomorrow afternoon, 3.2 metre high tide, and gradually going down from the full moon a day or two ago. Just about still getting longer. We pretty much got there for the close to the longest day, a couple of days' time. So the mornings are still getting darker, or have already started getting darker, which is what I said last week. So 2 minutes less light in the morning, so 6:08 for a sunrise, but 4 minutes more in the evening than it was last week. So 9:19 for sunset this evening. Haven't got that much cloud around, so it might be quite a good sunset this evening. Probably enough cloud to make it a good sunset. Things which are coming up this week, I say, fairly short list. Lots of things normally happening which don't seem to be on at the moment. Even the list of regular things is getting relatively short this week. So this is another week without the trivia night at the Harbourview Hotel. There is Twilight Football on starting 8 minutes ago. That's over at Papahua Reserve. Kids and beginners welcome on Thursdays. Hang on, is that right? Oh, okay. A weekly on Tuesday and Thursday, and kids welcome on Thursdays, and not tonight for kids. Yep. Should have read that more carefully. As I say, the usual thing, well, the usual things are listed on our raglanradio.com website. Have a look at the What's On tab, and you'll see them all laid out week by week. And when you click on them, they give you a bit more detail about what they're all about. As I say, there's less and less happening this week. Heading up to another week to go to Christmas Eve. Presumably, there's already lots of people around town who we don't normally see. So lots more coming, I'm guessing. The things which are on this week, which I know about, are that the Raglan Ramblers going rambling as usual tomorrow. I've actually got a couple of walks, so it might be possible to cope with the numbers. Both of them fairly difficult. So usual time and place for Raglan Ramblers. Old School was the start of an exhibition on Palestine, or for Palestine, that should be. Not sure whether too many of the exhibits are about Palestine, but the local artists who've given their work to try and do some fundraising to raise money for a medical charity based in Australia. We'll hear more about that in a while, because Aaron on the morning show, this morning, talked to Javier, whose show you've just been hearing. More about that on that coming up. Culminating, it's on 10 till 2 each day, like the usual exhibitions at the Old School. The Old School, of course, on Stewart Street. And culminating in an auction at the Old School at 6 o'clock on Saturday. The aim is to, I think I'll leave it for Javier to explain it all, which he did in his interview this morning. Then tomorrow morning, the day after, Thursday morning, there was supposed to be a Friends of Wainui work morning last week, but that got rained off. So looks like the weather's going to be better this week. So that's going to be on 9 o'clock at the Friends of Wainui Bush Park, 3.5 kilometres out of town on the right-hand side as you head towards the beach. Doing the usual sort of weeding and other things there. So useful job to keep that bush park in a reasonable state. It has, of course, been transformed over the last 30 years or more from mostly farmland to mostly bush. Raglan Community Radio started a year later. We've been celebrating our 30th anniversary as well. I was talking to Aaron this morning and asking how the Watertown mural was going, and he said it's almost finished and needs to be finished by Friday morning, because 11:30 on Friday morning up there at the corner of Norrie Avenue and Bow Street, there's going to be a karakia to bless the Watertown mural with a barbecue and kai. So that's happening Friday. I haven't got anything down for Saturday. I'm sure that maybe everybody's doing their Christmas shopping on Saturday. Sunday, the Surfside's got their Christmas church service on Sunday, 10 o'clock, at the not the old school, but the current school, Raglan Area School, the Church Hall. There's also another interview that we'll listen to, hopefully, in not too distant future, at all the points for Palestine. An idea to do some fundraising by paddling across the surf breaks to provide relief for a Palestinian family. Also happening on Sunday. That's it, I think, is it? Let's have a look. I'm sure there was something else on our website. Where did it get to? Sunday. The usual things on Sunday. The setting on Sunday at 4 o'clock. So, yeah. Harbour View Hotel, 10 o'clock. $10 entry from 4 p.m. Kid friendly till 6 p.m. and then 7 p.m. and adult. And bar closed and music down at 9:30. So that's on Sunday at the pub. Very short list of things happening this week on, as I say, on our own page, events page, what's on page. And I think everyone's winding down for Christmas. Aaron did assure me that we were going to have a New Year's Eve parade. That's still not on the our events page, though. So I'm still not too sure that that's happening. Because usually the Lions apply for funding to do street closures and stuff like that for the New Year's Eve parade. But maybe everyone's just going to get together at 6 or 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve and just start walking up and down Bow Street or driving up and down Bow Street. There's usually a mix of driving and walking and occasionally somebody with bicycles as well. And it's usually been pretty spontaneous, sort of turn up at an hour before it starts and join in. Where else have we got to? So I think that's the list of what's happening this week. That's a fairly short list. That's a fairly short list of things which are in the news as well. The councils have pretty much packed up for the year. Just starting a quarter of an hour ago was a Huntley Community Board meeting, which is the last of the Waikato District Council meetings this year. So there's no more until late January, I think, mostly in February. So that's when things start going again as far as, government at all levels, I think. So there's not much news coming from that direction. The only news that I've spotted is Aaron and I were talking about the year past this morning, and we were noting how many people had been drowned or died in various ways along the beach. And there's another story, unfortunately, this week saying surfer dies at Whale Bay. Emergency services were called to Whale Bay about 2:25 last Wednesday after a surfer was reported to need medical assistance, but he was unresponsive when brought ashore by the surf lifesavers, and death being referred to the coroner. And there's also a story from yesterday in the Waikato Times saying Philip Yoda Mitchell spent the last moment of his life paddling on a custom-made surfboard with his nickname silhouetted on it. Yoda spent every single moment of his life doing what he loves, whether it was surfing, spending time with his family, martial arts, or his work as a painter. And Philip Mitchell always did them with enthusiasm and created a community around him. going to be commemorated. What else have we got? The only other thing I've spotted is that we've actually got all the COVID figures this week. There've been a week or two when we've not had them recently. But the number of cases seems to be slightly down. So it has been trending around 100 or slightly more. And this week it's 93. Number of cases, not all that reliable these days. This is across the Waikato, because they gave up doing the Raglan figures a long time ago. But the number of people in hospital is probably a rather more reliable indication of what's going on, and that's up from 7 last week to 13 this week, almost doubled. And the number of deaths is also apparently keeping at 3 each week, which I suppose across the whole of Waikato, it's not a huge number, but 3 too many. You're listening to Raglan Talking Raglan on Raglan Community Radio, Rangel Whangarar. It's 19 minutes past 6. Let's have the... maybe I will listen to Harry talking about the support for the family in Palestine. That's a fairly short interview, so I think I can fit it in. And then we'll have the bottom of the hour items, which will be a bit past the bottom of the hour rather than being 11 minutes before the bottom of the hour. And then we can listen to some of the slightly longer interviews talking about the prospects of getting a bin shop again after we lost the one where the estate agents now is. And also that exhibition, which is starting 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So let's listen to Harry talking about this paddle across the harbour that he's planning as a fundraiser.
Hey, you got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. In the studio, I've got Harry Scott. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning.
Have you been for a surf today?
I actually haven't, no.
You haven't been for a
surf?
I've been
surfing a lot the last few days.
Surfing is one part of why we're talking to you, but it's kind of the vehicle for something else.
Yeah.
You're in contact with a friend in Gaza at the moment who's trying to look after their family and typically a nightmarish scenario. So what are you trying to do to help?
So essentially I'm doing a fundraiser for a family that I'm in touch with in Gaza, just to raise money to help them kind of support themselves. You know, they're living in a tent, they're displaced in the south of Gaza from the north. That's a journey they had to make on foot when their house got bombed. So yeah, they've kind of lost everything, living in a makeshift tent made out of food parcel bags, and kind of queuing every morning for basic supplies. It's also going into winter. You know, it's getting really cold. They need money for warm clothes, and all of this stuff is really not widely available. You know, it's been widely reported the shortage of aid getting into Gaza. Also, NGOs have not been able to do a lot of work on the ground, which is why at the moment the kind of best way that you can really support the cause is by donating directly to families to kind of help them in the here and now cope with kind of like the day-to-day cost of living.
So that's just digital money transfers, I guess,
in that general category.
Yeah, pretty much. But you've got a Give A Little running at the moment.
Yeah, so I've got a Give A Little page set up, raised about just over $400 so far, but would obviously like to take it a lot further. So to raise the money next Saturday, so in just over a week, I'm gonna be doing a long distance paddle on my surfboard, paddling from Indicators, paddling out across Whale Bay, across Manu Bay, and all the way in to Main Beach. It's around about 2.7 kilometers.
Okay.
So hopefully...
You're not allowed to get up and surf? You're going to...
If there's waves, then take a little bit of the journey off with a few waves, hopefully.
Right.
I'm just kind of starting to get a look at the forecast now, and it's looking like... I'm not sure about the swell, but it is looking like it's going to be a bit windy. So obviously we're going to play it by ear. If we have to postpone due to conditions, like, that's kind of out of our control. But you know, right now it's looking like the wind that there is onshore, so it will be blowing us in the direction of the beach, which is better than the opposite.
Yeah. But you will still have to fight it a little bit to
a little,
stay
it's going to be more challenging. So yeah, it will just, you know, what boards we paddle, there's kind of a little crew of us doing it. So yeah, whether we're, you know, in my mind in the beginning, I was thinking I was going to paddle my shortboard, but maybe if it's a little bit more choppy, might take a log or a foamy just to kind of It's going to be...
I think people would like to know you worked for this, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, every time I'm kind of... I work down at the beach with Green Wave and I'm kind of constantly looking out to the points and...
Yeah.
It's quite far. So I think it... will be a challenge physically.
Is the wave forecast about as reliable as the weather forecast a week out?
It does change, yeah. It is...
Like the weather, I would expect it to change from what it says in a week.
Yeah, for sure.
Somewhat, you know.
Yeah. The surf forecast, again, yeah, can change. But it's more... The swell is more predictable. It's the wind that is less so. Haven't seen the surf forecast as yet, so we will... We'll have to see.
Right, see, but you don't need to... Obviously, you're in the water enough, you don't need to... work up to this or practice for this?
No, I kind of thought about that, whether I should start kind of doing just some like lengthy paddles, but you know, I'm in the sea every day paddling around anyway, so yeah. I think, yeah, I'm just kind of going to go for it. We've got the life-saving club from Naranui on board as well. They're going to be providing a support vessel, so
yeah
it's going to be super safe and and you know, unless it's kind of howling winds and super stormy, then we might postpone it.
But. Yeah, okay, all right. So just tell us about like your own personal motivations to do this.
I suppose, you know, I'm from the UK. I've been in New Zealand for about a year now. And October the 7th happened just before I left the UK. Mm. And, you know, back home, I'm pretty passionate about kind of politics and world affairs. And it's something that is very much kind of something that I engage with a lot. And I think it, you know, when you're on the other side of the world and you're traveling around, it's easy to kind of turn a blind eye to it because you're not at home where you're connected in that way. But, you know, after being here for over a year now and now being quite settled in Raglan, you know, I just don't really think that there's an excuse not to kind of help in any way you can if you're in a position to. And, you know, we've got Palestine solidarity groups here. There is kind of like work happening, and so just when I kind of got back to Raglan just over a month ago, I just kind of felt like it was time to do something if I could. And a good friend of mine at home, Tegan, she does a lot of activism work with Palestine, with migration in Europe, all sorts, and she had was in touch with several families and was kind of asking people, you know, like, I've got these families, they need help, like, can anyone run any fundraisers? And I just thought, you know, I live in a small community, and it's, you know, small communities are, as far as it goes, pretty easy to mobilize, I think, and get behind a cause. And especially here, if you can kind of combine a really good cause with something that the community is really passionate about, like surfing, then hopefully you can make a little bit of a difference.
Okay. Do we understand what life is like there? Because I get the feeling that the entire place has been carpet bombed, but that hasn't happened yet.
It
pretty much has. Like, are there any buildings left standing? Like,
I mean, yeah, I guess there are some buildings left standing, but you know, the north of Gaza is basically uninhabitable. There are still some people who have refused to leave, but, you know, Israel kind of displaced everyone, forced them all to move south, you know, calling the south a safe zone, but then they continued to bomb the south. You know, they've bombed every hospital in Gaza. They are now bombing makeshift hospitals made out of tents. You know, they're targeting civilians.
How do they even know where they are?
I mean, Israel's got heaps of intelligence, you know.
True,
and
yeah.
They've
got a lot of money for their war machine.
And, you know, they're also being backed by America, by the UK, by kind of lots of, you know, big, powerful countries. So, yeah, it's a pretty
sometimes I just kind of stop and feel a bit helpless even talking about it. What's left of kind of their civil society, like the infrastructure that normally... that just always sits there in the background and we take for granted and probably complain about because there's potholes and things like that.
Nothing, I don't think. You know, schools have been bombed. No kids are at school. There's, you know, it's like as bad as it gets, I think, really. You know, it's, you know, the ICJ have, you know, called it a genocide. multiple countries around the world are calling it a genocide. Multiple NGOs are calling it a genocide. People working on the ground are calling it a genocide. You know, it is kind of a repeat of 1949, I think, was the Nakba, when, you know, there was the just kind of mass killing and ethnic cleansing of like 15,000 Palestinians. And, you know, I don't know.
Shifting the population out.
Well, exactly,
Free up an area?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, Israel is already going in and kind of creating settlements just as they did in 1940, well, during the Nakba. And, you know, it's kind of the whole kind of narrative of Israel's right to defend itself is kind of like a year later, over a year later, and with the amount of death and destruction, targeting of civilians, like it's gone far beyond that. And, you know, it's, I think for us living over here, it's so hard to even comprehend, or like it's too confronting to even try and imagine, let alone empathize with that. So we just kind of switch off to it, because actually if you really try to imagine yourself in that situation, like where you're just losing loved ones, friends, like your whole infrastructure, your whole life is just like collapsing around you, and you know, it's just like you can't comprehend it. And that is the reality for people there, you know, that's exactly what's happening. And it's relentless, you know.
So you and how much aid is getting through at the moment?
I mean, I don't know the figures, but not much.
Not enough.
No, nowhere near enough. You know, there's been a blockade. Israel's put a blockade on aid. You know, it's been widely reported how they've kind of been stopping things getting in, stopping aid trucks, you know.
Yeah, I do. It kind of, it stuns me a little bit that the world is just letting this happen. And yeah, obviously significant parts of the world like yourself and your own networks are not just letting it happen. And we've got the Palestinian support group here in Raglan as well. And, and, you know, there's lots of people everywhere not just letting it happen, but certainly governments. And I'm not entirely sure where our government's at, but probably not in an ideal place since we're allied with the UK and the US.
I know that the Greens have just put forward a bill to completely kind of disassociate from any kind of like support for Israel, but obviously they're in opposition, so I don't know what the kind of governing party's stance is exactly. But
yeah, it will force that to be clear, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I think that's probably the purpose. They're aware that they're probably not going to get it through, or that you never know your luck. But and you were just telling me about a stampede. Someone was telling me about a stampede that happened around some food over there. Just
recently,
as an example.
Well, you know, everyone is queuing every morning for flour, for bread, like the prices of which have completely skyrocketed. It's like, just unimaginable and ridiculous prices that obviously people can't afford. That's why fundraisers like this are happening, to support families. But, you know, it's, people are so desperate that, there was a stampede reported a couple of weeks ago, I think, where multiple people were killed. And that's just, you know, demonstrates the desperation here, you know, people just trying to feed their families. And
even if they get the food, I'm wondering what they cook it on. I guess people get camping gear and stuff like that.
I mean, I couldn't tell you. I'm not
sure. I know, exactly. I'm guessing, what would you do if you had to leave your house? What do you take? All those thought processes.
Very little, I think.
Yeah, because you've got to be mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a horrific thing that's happening over there. Have you had... We had a... because we've been doing it, we've done a couple of interviews with the Palestinian support group that's here. Mm-hmm. And we've only had one little piece of pushback, which was a comment on our Instagram from someone describing what was happening as anti-Semitic. So it was using kind of the propaganda terms that are happening around this. Have you had anything at all like that? I'm just kind of curious.
I had a comment when I first posted the fundraiser. Someone kind of sarcastically saying, oh, I hope it doesn't clash with my fundraiser to free the hostages, which, you know, I just think is... really ridiculous. I didn't respond to it because I just think it's kind of ridiculous.
It's not. It's like, not what you know, you need to do.
like trying to do one like good thing doesn't combat like something else, and you know, like of course, yeah,
yeah, they're not mutually contradictory,
no,
are they?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I guess there's always going to be that kind of pushback. If people want to call it anti-Semitic, like it's.
Well, that's a propaganda term. So,
yeah.
You know, and that was my first thought. Like, that stuff's just not going to work around here. Like,
exactly.
We're not embedded enough, especially in Raglan. And
it's nothing to do with Judaism. It's like anti-genocide, like anti-mass killing. It's anti-ethnic cleansing, you know. That's what it is. And it's also just about having a bit of humanity for people, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've kind of got to think as well, like, you know, if this was happening to a country where the population were predominantly white, how different would the global response be? Like, I can imagine it would be quite
different. I mean, at the very least it brings it closer to home,
yeah,
when
exactly,
people who look like you, it's happening too.
Mm.
Yeah, and I know there's been this thing too of people arguing about whether it's genocide or not, and I know that's just a strategy, that's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, even if it's not genocide, does that make it okay that
no, it absolutely
hundreds of
doesn't.
Thousands
you know,
of
yeah. so many children, like so
yeah,
many
exactly.
children, like
how many babies is it? Know, is it acceptable?
Take a walk down to like I don't know the preschool or something. Look at the kids and like, how would you like if they got bombed? Would you be absolutely up in arms? Like, of course you would.
Mm.
And that might sound really confronting and really dramatic, but that is literally what is happening. You know?
Yeah, that's
and
yeah,
then they'll
it
say,
is.
"Oh well, Hamas are stationed under the preschools, so it was okay to bomb all the kids." I don't think that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's used as a justification, and again, it's a little thing to distract from the main thing, which is you just killed some innocent people.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So yeah, there's all those. I guess I like people to be aware that there's all these tactics and distractions out there, but
yeah,
ultimately,
no, for sure.
people are dying when they shouldn't be. So
yeah,
and at least this here is something to help people out. Like, because a lot of people are also going to die, not from bombs, but just from starvation or
well,
like
exactly,
medical care.
Yeah, it's like a humanitarian crisis
yeah.
now on top of everything else.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So even though we can't stop the bullets and the bombs, what you're doing can supply a little bit of cash for
hopefully,
people.
Yeah.
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 When they need it. So, folks, we're talking to Harry Scott. The project is, what are you calling it?
So it's Paddle the Points for Palestine.
Paddle the Points for Palestine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a Give a Little page set up. You can find it through the link in my Instagram, which is HarrySCott10. Also, if you search on the Raglan notice board, I've posted it on there. So if you just search Paddle or Palestine, then it should come up. And we've kind of got quite a few local businesses have kind of shown their support as well. So if you donate, there'll be kind of spot prizes at kind of on completion of the paddle, and there'll be free coffees from the shack, board hire from Green Wave, some little goodies from the hemp shop. We've got burritos and ice cream from Roll Up. I think Bad Brother are involved. Sidekick are involved with sandwiches. Raglan Surf Co. are going to put together a little like bundle type thing.
Yep.
So, you know, if you regularly buy from those businesses, if you just kind of support this cause instead, then you know you'll be in with a chance of like winning something like that anyway.
Yeah.
My friend Maria is also organizing a yoga class, I think this week, and all the money raised from that is also going to be going to the cause. So
right, you've been busy.
Good
effort. And the Give a Little's open now.
It's open now.
But
yeah,
the paddle's happening.
The paddle is happening next Saturday. Weather permitting. You know, if any, it's going to be happening early in the morning. We'll probably set off about 7:30, so the latest we should arrive at the beach will be 9. It's going to be low tide, so there'll be heaps of space. If anyone wants to kind of come down to kind of like see the group of us in, that would be great. If anyone wants to like paddle out and meet us, that would also be like super cool.
Okay.
It'd be really nice to get a bit.
And we do, like, we don't just do a live interview, like we'll make a podcast out of this
and
push it out on our social media as well. So the link, we'll have the link to the Give a Little on.
Yeah,
that.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right, Harry, thanks for coming in.
And I thought I pressed the right button there so that didn't start. An interview which is raising money for a cause which the music I was going to play was, or I'm going to play is, Band-Aids, Do They Know It's Christmas? and that was that's exactly 40 years old. Because back 40 years ago, there was a big famine in Ethiopia, and the world got together, and some of the world got together, Band-Aid and various other musical groups got together and did some fundraising for that. It just seems to me that we've got a similar situation now, 40 years on, which is why I thought it was appropriate to have this song. So listen to this. Then we'll listen to Javier talking about this exhibition coming up. And we've also got a bit about the recycling, or not recycling, but the Raglan refill, which is coming up, the bin shop, which is being planned. So a bit more about that. You'll have this, and then we'll have the bottom of our items about 10 or 15 minutes late.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shame.
Direct every Tuesday, 1:30 to 3 Aotearoa afternoons and 9:30 to 11 NYC Monday evenings. Across 110th Street, Beats, Ritmos, and Stoops with DJ Benny L.
Right here, 98.1 on your FM dial. Live streaming and podcasting each week at raglanradio.com. Beats, Ritmos, and Stoops, where NYC meets NZ.
was the third brother of five.
What do we more in the guru name?
Yo! Oh! Away ha!
Tiny way off it all in the guru name!
Yo! Oh! Away ha!
Radio Whangaroa 98.1 FM.
Which is where you're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan, and it's just coming up to 16 minutes to the top of the hour, 7. And let's have that interview with Javier talking about the exhibition that's opening 10 o'clock tomorrow.
I've got Javier in the studio. Good morning.
Buenos dias. How are you?
I'm good. So Javier is one of our DJs and on our committee as well, but we're not here to talk about the radio. You're involved with the... you call yourselves a Palestinian support group?
Yeah. Well, the Whangaroa Palestinian support. That's the...
Yep. And there's an exhibition starting tomorrow.
Yes, we have all packed, all the artwork is in my van at the moment, and we're going to install it this morning.
Okay, so that's... and it's going to go through what, till Christmas?
Not only till the 21st. Till Saturday, so starting tomorrow.
Oh yeah, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, set for a short one.
Yeah, it's a short one, you know. Yeah. And on Saturday will be the live auction.
Okay, and just tell us a little bit of the story about it. Like, who? There seems to be a lot of artists.
Yeah, well, we put a call for to make an exhibition and a auction for art auction, and I made a call to the local artist, and it was just overwhelming, the response. You know, we have maybe, I don't know, more than 30 works, you know, and all are donated by local artists, and some of the works are just amazing, mind you. I haven't seen all of them. Yeah. Because they're still packed, and some of them were just delivered yesterday. So, and it is, I don't know if the room will be big enough for all the work that we have, you know?
Yeah. So, let me see. So this is an important question. Based on the storm that I've just seen on our last post about the Palestinian issue on social media, the money's going where?
The money is going to the... It's a group called PANSMA, which is the Palestinian... Association, no, Palestinian Australian New Zealand Medical Association. So basically, this goes for medical support in Gaza.
Okay, because folks, if you haven't been on our Facebook, I think, did we put that one on the notice board or something? anyway, there's some fairly wild and unproven, obviously, accusations that money's going to Hamas. On for this other thing that we talked about.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to be really clear about this.
Yeah.
Are you you're probably not the person who's the connection to that organization within your group.
No, Gillian is the one who had the connection, but she did a bit of, you know, a long research to see which organization actually managed to send the money to the Palestinian people.
Yeah.
And apparently this Australian New Zealand Association, they are the ones, the medical association, are the ones who managed somehow to send the money there. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. So, can we name some artists?
These are a lot.
Not all of them, just whatever comes to mind.
I don't know. Chris Meek, Elsa Lai, Martin Tenbrock, Louise Brooks, Wanda Barker, Gay Yurisic. She's actually from Hamilton. It's a few people from Hamilton that are donating. Diana Wells, Catherine Houston, Louise Debris, Richard Gemmel, Rodrigo Hill, Jesse Galloway, myself and Carolina, Janice Aboganis, another one, Hamilton, with a huge kind of photographs. Even some people, well, Stuart Shepherd is there, Janice and Monica, Claudia Girk, Suzanne Prince, David Loughlin, and that's some of the ones that
so
I just...
I'm hearing paintings, I'm hearing photography.
Sculpture as well.
Sculpture, yeah.
Ceramics.
And yours is... You're famous for making posters. But
No, this one is some photographs that Caroline and I put together. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are they from... It's not... You probably didn't go out and do a photo shoot?
No,
this one?
These are some photographs that we took some years ago. And it was the actual film, you know, and now they've been digitized, you know. but it was a film, and basically it's Black Sand, you know?
Okay.
So it's the title, it's a triptych, it's three images called West Coast.
Okay, all right. And who have you got doing the auction?
Actually, I'm going to give it a go myself.
You're going to do it?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how good I'll be at it, you know, but...
I might come along just for that.
Give it a go, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So this is at the old school. So it's on for 4 days, 18th to 21st. Presumably the auction's at the end?
Well, no.
At the start?
We'll have a... People can put bids at any time.
Ah, okay.
So we have a book in there.
So it's not a live auction necessarily.
It will be live on Saturday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So basically people are able to put a bid in any work they like at any time between tomorrow and Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on Saturday we'll go to the highest bid and we start the live auction from there.
Okay.
So if it's no highest, obviously that's gone, you know. And otherwise, you know, we start from the highest, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we've got to get some people along.
Yes, and actually, I think that room, I'm a bit concerned that the room at the old school might not be big enough, you know, because there is, I think it's a lot of expectation for that, you know.
Right.
And that will be a huge, beautiful problem, you know. Sometimes we have some problems that are difficult, but that will be a difficult, but it will be good to have many people there, you know.
Yeah, well, they have a sound system at the old school, so you can set up a speaker and a microphone if you need to for people to hear you somewhere else, but the people somewhere else won't be able to see what's going on, will they?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, you know. And well, we'll just wait and see what happens, you know. The worst that could happen is that we do it on the car park, you know, if it's enough people.
Yeah, true. Yeah. The weather might be okay if it's light today.
Yeah,
it could be like fun. Yeah.
We'll be on Saturday at 6.
At 6 in the evening.
And the old school is having the bar open, so you can have a bite and a drink if you want.
So the regular area school exhibition's until today. Today's its last.
Actually, yesterday I went to check out about the hanging and how I'm going to organize all that today, and the work from the school were gone already.
Already gone, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's important to know that, because I was saying before that people might be able to see it, so... Because
no,
I was looking at the date.
Since yesterday was gone. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I better take that poster down over there as well. Javier, tell us about your personal motivations for this.
Well, I think there's a lot of us who are kind of, sad and frustrated about what's happening in Palestine, you know. And, you know, something that has been going since 1948, you know, and all of the sudden, everything started for some people on the 7th of October of last year, you know, and it's something that has been going for a long time. It's a real occupation. It's colonialism at its worst, you know. If you look at the map of Palestine from 1948 to the map of today, you know, it's about 5% of the area, you know, so Israel has been slowly taking over, you know, putting more and more housing and that, and people from anywhere in the world, as long as they are Jewish, you know, they can come to Israel at any time and have a free house, you know. So it is quite an invasion that is going on, and at the moment it's more than that, it's genocide, you know, like total genocide, you know, destruction to the max.
So I'm going to take the position I'm thinking of, because we're getting some blowback on our post. What have you been? How long have you? What have you been reading? Or what's your source of information like?
Well,
I know you didn't know I was going to interrogate you when you got here, but I think we should talk about this a little bit.
Well, you can even see from the States, Democracy Now is a good spot, you know. I also listen and see the Al Jazeera, you know.
Yeah.
It is terrible, because I got, well, terrible in the sense that every morning when I wake up and I open my iPad, you know, the first thing that I got is some Al Jazeera news, you know. And every day is something like 20 more killed in a hospital, you know, 15 more killed in a school, you know, so many kids, you know. It's just, it's difficult to deal with, you know, and we feel is a lot of us here in Whangaroa and in the planet, you know, who want to do something about it, you know, because it seems like the United Nations and the international court, you know, they're good for nothing, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, the US is backing Israel, so, and I don't think that's a very controversial statement. They have the power to stop it, but because they are the superpower on the planet.
Yeah, and supplying the weapons, you know, and so that's, if they stop that, you know, the whole thing will stop, you know.
Yeah. The thing, there's so much propaganda around, there's always propaganda around wars, like, and we should never be 100% confident about what we're reading. Certainly the mainstream media or big media in New Zealand is, I'm going to call them the establishment media because they're behaving like an establishment organization. They're supporting our government's point of view, and our government is allied with the US and the UK. I kind of look away now from our news services in some ways. What are you seeing coming through?
Yeah, well, every now and then I just check the news, you know, like in either in the TV, you know, Channel 1 or Channel 3, you know, and it's always disappointing, you know. They always have the USA point of view, you know, and it is kind of the way they report is shameless, you know. It's difficult to deal with when you know that it's so many other media, you know.
I think we need to have, and I'm trying to work out how to deal with this, especially in light of what I said about people coming on and pushing their own viewpoints on our Facebook post. Like, you've got to have an understanding of propaganda and how power works. And once you get that, I mean, I got that from reading Noam Chomsky, like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I read a book, I was like, this explains things in a way that the newspapers never explain things to me. I really feel like I understand why things are happening now. And it's a bit easier to look in history and the behavior of the U.S. in history and areas that have become non-controversial now, like Vietnam. Like, it's widely acknowledged that they really were bad for Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's living in a very simple sentence. When you start to look at how a superpower maintains its power, you don't become a superpower by accident. And you don't become the biggest bully on the block by being nice to everybody.
Exactly.
And that's a very simple way of putting what I've picked up after like years of reading stuff. I expect that where the US is now, they're projecting power for a purpose, and having control and having effectively a massive army base in the Middle East is hugely beneficial to their power.
Yeah.
I'm working back from there. The people of Israel are somewhat pawns in this particular game. Even though what we're seeing, I mean, for people I know in Israel and their Facebook feeds, there's some pretty horrible things coming through there, like alarming pieces of propaganda that they're getting very emotionally invested. And it's not surprising, perhaps they're told they're under threat from terrorists.
Yeah, have you seen something that I strongly recommend to anyone? It's a film called Israelism. Israelism, and it's free, and you can watch it in YouTube, and it really shows how they're manipulated, you know, how misinformed all the Israelis are, you know, and all the propaganda that they deal with since they're born, you know.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend if you want to see the Israeli point of view, you know, and that was put together by some Israelis who live in the USA, you know. So it is an interesting one to watch, you know.
So are they people who had the scales lifted from their eyes, for want of a better phrase?
Yes. In you can say it that way. Yes.
Yeah, and every war, every government on both sides of the war always puts out propaganda to their own people. That's the main purpose of their propaganda.
I wouldn't even call it a war, you know?
No, okay, but I'm talking generally speaking.
Right.
Yeah, for all wars everywhere, there's never really been one where the leadership wasn't putting out propaganda to their own people to make sure that their own people were on board.
Yeah, look at Hitler, you know.
Well,
or Franco, you know.
Yeah, well, Hitler was the first that was really sophisticated with it.
Mm.
And now it is super sophisticated, so I'm just trying to figure out, because I see those arguments online, and and I see the comments people are making, and I know this point, there's no point engaging with them at all on the issue of who said what and this and that. Yeah. And a lot of people throw their hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know, because the media is giving different media gives different stories.
Yeah.
And I say, you've got to build a mental map of the world that it takes into account how power works. And it's very, very much obvious that the people in Gaza have very little power. They can't leave. They get electricity and humanitarian supplies at the whim of the Israeli government.
Yeah.
I don't know what else there is to say.
Yeah, well, it's terrible to see that. You know, one thing that you asked me before, and I just want to reinforce this, is you asked me about how do I get information, you know, and by speaking another language, you know, there is a really good podcast from Spain, you know, called La Base, which just keep really good information, you know. They are from the left, you know, and they claim to be from the left, you know, and the only thing that they promise is to be as accurate and as, you know, truthful as possible, you know, because every news is, you know, you can't be neutral, you know, and they...
I think there's a lot of journalists who genuinely try to be neutral, but I think it's much better to state, it's much more honest to state your assumptions or state your beliefs up front.
Yeah, this is where I come from.
You can analyze what I say based on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rather than saying I'm neutral.
And there's another newspaper that I read every day, which is La Jornada, which is a Mexican one, that is also very, very, well, it's another international news that I follow and give me different perspective to the ones that we see in the media in Aotearoa.
So coming from Mexico, is there a story about the way that the US has treated Mexico?
Well,
aside from stealing half of it.
Well, yeah, we have an old saying, you know, it's back from the 30s, you know, that say that Mexico has got two big problems. One is to be so far from God, and the other one is to be so close to the USA. So that's a kind of like funny way to put it. Yeah, but imagine having that as neighbors, you know. It is dangerous, you know, and like, for example, last year, according to some of the Mexican media, you know, 1 million weapons came illegally from the States to Mexico, you know? That's 1 million illegal guns and
how is that happening?
Well, that's...
Is that a systematic... Is that a program?
Yeah, I think so, because they support... You know, in the USA, they're the ones who consume the drugs that come from Mexico. Mm. They used to mainly come from Colombia, you know, but now Mexico is the big dealers, you know. So they consume the drugs and the people from the States, well, the arms people, they sell the weapons to the Mexicans. And it's just so difficult to stop that, you know. Mm. It is a trade there that is totally unjust, you know. In one way, the victims are the USA people who consume the drugs because they are not very good at fentanyl, you know, is killing a lot of people, you know. But the actual war is happening in Mexico, you know. So the killing and stuff and you know, is happening there, you know. So it's not an easy neighbor to have.
We New Zealand has traditionally been an ally of the US, so people are comfortable with the US, like that it just affects perceptions. Different in Mexico?
Well, in Mexico it's difficult because the biggest trader in the USA right now is Mexico. So Mexico provides most of the cars, you know, they're built in Mexico now, you know.
Right.
The Ford Motor Company and the General Motor, you know, a lot of them.
So very intertwined.
Yeah, the biggest dealer, you know, the biggest commerce happening between for the USA is the Mexicans. And, of course, 80% of the exports of Mexico go to the USA. So if that gets in trouble, which is going to get in trouble, apparently, according to Trump, you know, Mexico will be in big trouble.
Is the general population as trusting of the U.S. as our general population is?
No.
I guess that's where I was going with that. That's what I was trying to find my way forward. I'm just trying to give people an idea of what it's like in other countries and how people view this kind of stuff when we're talking about Gaza.
Yeah, well, we it's very delicate the situation because they're our neighbors, you know, so you can't really, you know, go hard against them, you know. But yeah, there is a lot. And now with the new, with the Mexican president that we got at the moment, presidenta, that is, you know. And I think Mexico is becoming a lot less subservient to the USA as it used to be in the past, you know, since the last 6 years. Now it's the 7 year of a decent government who are not subservient to whatever the USA said, you know, because the previous governments in Mexico since the 40s have been, you know, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir to the USA, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Folks, we're talking to Javier, who's one of our DJs and a local artist who is part of the group doing the auction exhibition for Palestine. The money's going. Remind us where the money's going again.
The money's going to the Medical Association, which is a Palestinian Australian New Zealand Medical Association.
Okay, and it's happening from the 18th to the 21st. You've got half the art in your van at the moment.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave here and go and start to put it up? Ready?
Yeah, we're getting now to go to start mounting. I think at 10 o'clock they open the school.
Okay, and then 10 o'clock tomorrow morning the doors are open.
Yeah, the for school the public will be open to the public from 10 to 2 every day of the week, and on Saturday we'll go from 10, and the live auction will be at 6 p.m.
Okay. And you've got all the artists and art you could possibly need. You just need people to buy.
Yeah, I think it's a really good opportunity for people to get some fantastic art, maybe at an amazing price, you know.
Who knows?
Because you never know, you know, people donated. And we have one work which has got a reserve, the only one with a reserve as such, of $3,000. So there's some serious artwork in there.
Yeah,
you know?
People are really contributing.
One thing that I just need to add is that although we have a really good relationship with the old school, because, you know, the films have been there and we have some of the action that we have done, it happened there and it's been really good. We are really surprised that they are taking 30% of the sales.
Yeah.
You know? Like a normal gallery will do, you know, and to me it was a total surprise, you know, because I thought that they would have a policy for non-profit, for charitable, but no, apparently we talked to them or send emails and the committee decided to charge 30% as if we were on for business, you know.
Mm.
We paying the rent, you know. They are getting money in the bar, you know. So, but still, we have to pay that 30%. So, not all the money will go to the medical association.
Okay, so people need to know. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah. To be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Javier. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Hasta pronto.
And you're listening to Reckland talking to Reckland. I should have mentioned that Harry is actually doing. As he said, because the weather's going to be bad on Saturday, and also because the art exhibition finishes on Saturday and has that auction on Saturday evening, 6 o'clock at the old school, he's moved his paddle for Palestine to Sunday. And I'm not quite sure what time it is. Low tide is 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. The weather's supposed to be a bit better on Sunday, and the later it is, probably the better the weather will be. So, not sure how that's going to go. You're listening to Raglan Talking Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. That's the top of the hour item, 7 minutes late.
The Hub of Your Hotel, the centre of Raglan, a bastion of good times. Great food, music, live bands, sports on the big screen, functions, gaming, accommodation and more. Join us for weekly entertainment, Trivia Tuesdays and Major Prize Draws Thursdays. Saturday entertainment, Sunday brunch, and enjoy a beautiful meal in our award-winning restaurant. We look forward to welcoming you and yours for a great time in Raglan at the Hub View Hotel.
Looking for a conference room for your next get-together? Raglan Holiday Park's Hui Room is a modern facility that caters for up to 35 people. And with large screen, bathroom facilities and a full kitchen, it's perfect for team building, meetings, events and more. The Hui Room is only a few metres from the beach, which is great for extra activities, and accommodation is available for anyone coming from out of town. We do great discounted rates for locals too, so give us a call on 825 8283 today.
Raglan Community Radio supports the code of broadcasting practice for the broadcasts of its radio programs. If you hear something you find offensive or intentionally misleading on our station, you have the right to complain. A formal complaint about a specific program or incident must be made within 20 days of broadcast of that program to Raglan Community Radio, PO Box 126, Raglan.
You're finding it awesome this evening. Aaron was mentioning terrorism a fair bit during that interview, and I looked up some of the history and came across this bit in the Otago Daily Times from the 20th of September 1948, headed Palestine mediator shot by terrorists. The mediator Count Falk Bernadotte was killed in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem by men in Jewish army uniform, and also killed was his companion, Colonel Serrault, a French United Nations official. So, you know, terrorism in that area, unfortunately, has been on both sides. So, always strikes me as odd when people are claiming that it's only Palestine that has terrorists. But, of course, if we look back in this country, we have the town which is called Tequiti, partly owes its name to somebody who was called a terrorist back in those days. In those days, this country was being colonised in much the same way that Palestine's being colonised today. Anyway, let's get back to listening to some of the interviews from Aaron, and one of them was talking to Eloise about the bin shop. I'll let them do it. Here goes.
I want to welcome Davian and Eloise to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So good to be here.
Yes. Now, if people recognise Davian's voice because he's one of our DJs, welcome back to the studio. How do you feel being in the situation where you're not in control?
Yeah, I'm feeling a long way away from the desk over there. It's a little odd.
So we're here to talk about, I'm calling it the refillery. Is the official title Raglan Refill?
Yes.
Is that what we've got happening here?
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know there's a set of questions I'm going to ask, but I actually want to know, let's ask a straightforward one. Do we know when it's opening? Because people, that's what they want to know.
January. It sounds slightly vague. I can, like, probably sounds slightly vague, but January is what we're aiming for.
That's the aim. Okay.
Yes.
So let's go back to the start. How did it come about? Because we know that Swap closed, and then we heard things through the grapevine, or some of us did, that there are a group of people wanting to do something. So how did you guys all find each other?
Good question, actually. So I remember my wife Christy coming home one day. It would have been a few months ago now, and she said, I was in a cafe with my boss, who at that point was Sally from Waikato District Council.
Yeah.
And they
who lives in Raglan.
Who lives in Raglan.
Yeah.
And they were at a cafe, I can't remember, it might have been Orca, plug there. And and then Jasmine leaned across from another table, and she looks slightly excited, and she's like, oh, I just heard a rumour that maybe there could be a refillery, a new refillery being talked about in Raglan. And I don't know who she'd overheard talking. It could have been Chloe and Tania from our group. But at that point, so we got a little bit excited about that idea. And then I went in to see Jasmine a couple of days later for another reason at WEC, at the Environment Centre. And we got talking about it, and she was like, yes, it's true. There is talk. And it went from there. And Eloise, do you want to tell us about how you got...
Well, I was approached when TradeAid was still open.
Because were you working...
Yeah.
Were you the manager?
I was the manager at TradeAid. Okay, yeah. And then I had one of my volunteers tell me that this new idea was coming up and that they were looking for a manager. So then Jasmine came down and saw me at the shop. And then, yeah, from there, we've just been a part of the crew.
Okay, and so you've been... Now you've got to organise. At least you know how to run a shop.
I do.
That's good.
And also, Eloise, you used to work for Swap Is this true?
No, I didn't used to work for Swap. No, I managed Trade Aid for 4.5 years before we closed down.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Okay, yeah. So there's some experience there, but it's a whole different set of suppliers and things like that. So as well as trying to find somewhere to go, how much work has gone into finding all the suppliers and all that? Like, how hard is that? And what is that noise? It's a very strange noise.
I believe it's the aliens.
Aliens. They're finally landing. Are they part of the crew as well? That was... Sorry, listeners, there was just this very strange noise that my brain... I couldn't pretend it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. A lot of work has definitely gone into finding wholesalers. We're lucky enough that some of the people that ran Swap have helped us through this process as well.
Yeah.
And I've gone into the new one in May in Hamilton East.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done a bit of research with some refilleries around the local area, and I've kind of just gone from there and, yeah, done some research. So.
Okay. I presume you were confident that there was a market for it locally? Like, it almost seems like a redundant question, but what sort of feedback have you got informally?
Oh, we've had a lot of really positive feedback from it. Chloe organised a survey, and we had a lot of great responses from the community saying that they were really excited for this to happen. And
The survey, incredible amount of responses.
Incredible amount.
All the positive.
Yeah.
People excited about what we're doing. Obviously, in the vacuum that was left after Swap, Bridie did an amazing job of running that business, and everybody really loved Swap.
Yeah.
And it's good to know she's still doing her work in Hamilton, right?
She is.
I did wonder if she was like planning to come back, but I mean, I actually talked to her a few times because we've been going over to where they are in Hamilton East, and she's full on there at the moment, getting that all running perfectly.
It's beautiful,
fine.
Beautiful.
So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. That's a great location.
It is.
And many other benefits that she didn't have in Raglan, I would say as well. So the chance for growth and profitability are pretty good.
Can I mention one more thing? I think there's quite a legacy for such a small town like Raglan. I think we've got an amazing legacy of bulk food shops. Was his name Jim? I see.
John was.
John Wok?
Yeah. Well, his last name was Bat Sally, but everyone called him John Wok because of Whangaroa Organic Kai, which he started.
Right.
And that closed out. Well, he was trying to sell it, and then COVID hit, and the deal fell apart, and at that point he was just like, with COVID, we're just going to close it.
Right.
So then, there wasn't a dedicated setup like that until Bridie came along. So we definitely know that people like it in Raglan and Whangaroa. Do you have a location? Because that was a big question.
We do. We're lucky enough that the Raglan Club has let us rent out one of their newly built units in the back car park next to the Lions Club.
Yeah.
So that's where we'll be.
It was amazing timing, really, because we're
it was
so we're heading towards summer and, there's just nothing available or nothing that's being made available, at least. And then this thing popped up with the club and, hey, we're building a cabin and we're actually building a couple or three and the Lions... So if anyone knows where the Lions are...
It's in the back car park.
In the back car park?
Yeah, does anyone know? So a sign just went up on the fence across the road. I can see it past your head out the window, Damien.
Yeah, beautiful.
On that new kind of black fence, slatted fence.
On Bow Street. We're on Bow Street.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, yes. Surely, does everyone? No, maybe they don't. Anyway, the sign went up, and so I popped over to have a look, and they'd actually been there for 6 weeks, and I kind of hadn't picked up when they actually reopened the Lions. But it'll create, I imagine they get, they're obviously getting less foot traffic. People have to go out of their way to go there. But with you guys there together, I think that should make a difference.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a nice synergy. And our signage plus their signage plus everybody just more reasons for them to be over in that little space.
Could you put quite a big sign on listeners, I'm now looking out the window at the wall going, if you put signs there with specials and things, like I'll just read them out.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
What a great symbiosis.
This week's special. But definitely some signs there definitely are going to be required, aren't they?
Yeah, and some flags and stuff.
Yeah, we're going to have to think about it. Actually, we just got donated a, what do they call them? The little
Blackboard.
A-frame blackboard.
Oh, yeah, a little sandwich board thing.
Sandwich board, that's the word from Margaret at Feed the Kids.
Yeah.
That's a surplus requirement for her, so she's given it to us. And in fact, that board originated from Swap.
All right.
So it's been used well. It's a sturdy board, and we're going to put it out there and make the most of it. Apply their home with what they need.
Yeah.
We're going to have as much as possible in that kind of department.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So our household used to buy a big sack of flour, like the full sized sacks. Hey, can you guys get those in?
Sacks?
Should
we
talk about this off the air? Maybe this is a posted. There's a new loaf. New loaf will be ready around lunchtime today, I think.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
That's my lunch sorted.
Yeah, that's your lunch sorted. I'll have to make another one then. Maybe. it's music. That's what I can hear. For some reason, it's trade aid.
Yeah, we're a social enterprise, yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Okay, have you set up like a formal board or committee and all that kind of stuff? You had to do that?
That's right. Yes, we've learned about that process. It's quite the journey.
Yeah, I know. We're not officially a social enterprise, but we're running a similar way here at the radio station. So, yeah, I know about all the paperwork and getting that sorted out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're officially a charity and social enterprise. Actually, talking about social enterprise, we're thinking of bringing in a group into Raglan to help kind of teach around social enterprise as well. That'll be helping us and also helping others potentially. Yeah. But yeah, watch the space potentially.
Okay, so they could do like a workshop or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're a charity and we're not for profit.
Why did you choose that option?
I think it's just to reinforce the fact that everybody that's working on this is doing it for. We're doing it because we think that a bulk store in Raglan is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, it's not about making money or anything. We've got to keep going. We have to be sustainable in terms of, you know, keeping our finances going. But it's about the environmental reasons for having a bulk store, i.e. minimal packaging, if not no packaging at all, and just the having really low-cost foods available to the community as well.
Yeah, so where are you setting the pricing? Like, did you have to talk about that, did you?
Is that an ongoing discussion?
That's an ongoing discussion always, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, we're pretty much just trying to make the prices lower than the supermarkets, even some of the bin ins and like Hamilton.
Yeah.
Just to help the community with the cost of living crisis and lower those food costs.
Yeah, everything seems to have got quite expensive. And it will.
All the little details of the survey were helpful for ongoing decisions.
So we got the location. Every shop needs equipment. What about equipment? Have you got all the equipment?
Well,
have you got a cash register?
Yep.
Eloise, you want to talk about that?
Yep. No, we've got a cash register. We're in the process of purchasing a point-of-sale system and the hardware for the point-of-sale system.
Okay. Do they come cheap, those sorts of things?
No.
No. yeah.
But you make it work.
yeah, okay.
It's been really cool. Like, we put it out to the zero waste community looking for... So the bins. So we're really trying hard not to ship new bins and things from the other side of the world, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've found a lot of stuff from just not too far from here, definitely inside the country.
Yeah.
And all secondhand, the stuff that we've found so far.
Yeah.
Which is just fits our ethos really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Now, what's this about? Give a little vouchers in the. And yeah, what's this?
It's funny you should ask us about that, actually, Aaron. do you want to talk about that, Eloise, or should I? Okay, so we have a campaign at the moment. We've had lots of support so far. I think we're in up to $5,000 so far that people have helped fund the start of our shop by buying vouchers. And so essentially it's just prepaying for goods that they'll be getting from the shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you buy a voucher that you get, you know, first in, first served, you can turn up on the first day and we'll have everything waiting for you, essentially.
Right. So this is, what is the cost to buy all the gear? Do you know yet? Like, not just the gear, but all the food. Like, you have to buy all your stock up front before you've... got any money from a customer normally?
I think we're at about 7.5 at the moment to get all of the stock that we need in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's just an estimate of what we've done with the budget. It could possibly be more, it could be less, yeah.
Okay, but that's the rough number
we've got.
And I guess it also depends on how fast it then exits the shop.
Yeah,
with customers,
exactly.
How
yeah.
fast we have to, you know,
restock yeah.
as well.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So what is your goal for the Give a Little?
I think our goal is around 10,000. I'm not sure where we got that. Maybe it is 7,000 if that's what.
Yeah, but that's not including GST. So I think in total it's 9.5. So that's where the 10,000.
Okay,
came from. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously not my department, Aaron.
What's your department, David?
say what isn't my department? No, I guess I've been doing the social media stuff.
Yes.
So
yeah.
The comms.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going on with me. And
you organise the bins. And
I've put the word out there in terms of trying to get secondhand stuff, fittings, and this is a good time to talk about Manu, who's been incredibly helpful around helping us to build shelves, etc. That's definitely happening as we speak. He's got all the designs put together, and I don't know if you, Aaron, you know Manu.
Yes,
he's got a long history of work in this town.
Yeah, well, the tool library, I know who's involved with that, and when you talk about constructing shelves and things,
volunteer.
Right. Okay.
But we still need lots more volunteers. At the moment, we're still trying to recruit as many volunteers as possible before we open in January, just so we can, you know, get everything running properly by the time we're ready to open. Yeah.
What would be, if someone was going to come and volunteer, what would be the kind of commitment that you'd be expecting?
For our volunteers, we only really expect like three hours a week, pretty much just any sort of hours that anyone can provide a week. And
but up to whatever.
Well,
right?
whatever anyone wants to volunteer, like the store, retail, you know, assistant sort of positions.
Yeah. There was a question I was going to ask earlier, which just come back to me, which is, could you not have just used TradeAid, or is that shop too big?
Can we have another? This is definitely needing a whole other session.
I know that can delve into other issues which are controversial in town, but I know that people might be wondering. So if it was too expensive, it was too expensive.
Well, I think part of the whole, you know, TradeAid, the timing was out a little bit in terms of TradeAid wrapping up, and we didn't have our ducks together in terms of starting up.
Yeah, get it.
You know,
yeah.
So if that answers your question.
That does, yeah.
We do have lots of our TradeAid volunteers that are on board, though.
Yes.
So the ones that volunteered with me down the road, they have all jumped on as well to volunteer in the shop. So that's
okay. Cool. If someone comes up to you and says, oh, can you stock this? I hear you're opening. Can you stock this thing that I like? Are you in a position to do that, or is it
absolutely?
It's not too cramped.
No, not at all. Obviously within reason, like without, because we only have a limited space, so we can't have a dramatic large product in there that will take up lots of space. But if there's anything that people like, I buy this regularly, then absolutely I'll get it into the shop.
What about like cold things like milk, like Dreamview Creamery? Is that feasible?
At the moment, we're still looking into that.
There's been talk of a freezer.
Amazingly,
Margaret once again has offered us one of her freezers that she has up at the school that isn't being used at the moment. So yeah, I guess it all comes down to, we're still having these discussions about what we are going to stock and what we aren't. So that's going to be a big part of the decision making.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm, as a potential customer, or definitely will be a customer, I'm keen to know what's going to be in there. So.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good to know. Well, we will sort that out soon, and we will put it out there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So, folks, we're talking to Eloise and Davian from Raglan Refill, which is going to be opening sometime in January.
Yep.
Yes.
Round beside the Lions Op Shop, which you may not even have been aware, but that's open in the club car park today. Probably you can go there now. Even I'm not sure what time their doors open. Maybe 10.
Can I just throw in this?
Like, yes.
Are we really, apart from the, as we talked about, the support we've had with people very interested in coming along, and supporting us when we open. There's just been a huge amount of community support in terms of, you know, equipment and like Regulatory, for example, have given us a whole lot of different avenues of support. And yeah. Gabrielle from Regulatory, she's wonderful. So amazing. I definitely want to say thank you to her. I think this is the good thing about an organization like ours and what we're trying to achieve is that in a place like Raglan, where everybody just jumps in and makes it happen. And I think we want our shop to be about the community, that everybody's just getting involved and we're all getting the benefits from it.
Okay. Well, look, it's been really good to have you guys in here. Eloise, for you, when you were running Trade Aid, like that kind of was a model that was set up and you just came in and did what the model said to do. Have you enjoyed setting up your own thing this time?
Oh, it's been really exciting. Yeah, definitely. I've really enjoyed the process of being able to contact the wholesalers, set up like the point of sale system, stuff like that. Yeah. It's been really fun. I've enjoyed the process.
And Davian, this is a whole new experience for you, being involved in something like this. You're a filmmaker normally.
I have not been involved in retail. I think the closest has been I worked at a pub at one point.
Yeah. So you've learned some new things?
I'm learning some new things and I will continue to learn some new things. And so, I'm really thankful for that.
Okay, well, brilliant. Well,
That was pretty much the end of that interview. That's pretty much the end of Raglan Talking to Raglan. So if you have been, thanks for listening. If you haven't, you're probably waiting for the music to start. We've got Bob Seger, Come to Popper, lined up. I hope you might join me next week anyway, 6-ish to 7:30-ish, it now being 7:30. Here goes. If the sun